Sign off.
Labor and Commerce Committee comes order. Our President, Senator McKay, Senator Pettyjohn, and myself. We have House Bill 610, Finance, before the committee. Could you hand me that sheet there? First, we'll have Ken Johnson, House Labor and Commerce.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. I would testify briefly in support of this legislation for the Labor and Commerce Committee. Just to give you a brief background on this bill, some of the construction contractors in the state, large number of them, came forward to the committee and presented some of the problems that they felt were plaguing the industry and work, and two of those problems were the large number of unlicensed contractors that were operating in the state, and also that a lot of prime contractors on jobs were not making sure that the subcontractors that they hired were licensed. So the committee held hearings around the state and a number of the populated areas, from Ketchikan to Fairbanks, I believe. And subsequently, House Bill 610 was drafted. It first called for a board of builders to solve the problem, and the committee took that bill on the road again. And in the hearings on the original House Bill 610, there were three things that came out in the hearings from the contractors themselves, and what they wanted, what they felt best protected their interest and best protected the public. They were enforcement of regulation that is already on the books, an increase in the bonding, and more public awareness of how to select a contractor for a job. So, as a result of those hearings, the Labor and Commerce Committee went back and started from ground zero, basically, again, took a few things from the original bill, and added two or three part-time investigators to the Division of Licensing staff that would operate from approximately the 1st of April until the end of September in the South Central area to police jobs to make sure that contractors were licensed and bonded and complying with all contracting laws. So one of the major reasons that contractors that were complying with the laws felt that there should be more enforcement is because it costs a considerable amount of money to subcontractors. They consider it a considerable amount. So the committee, to comply with the law, it costs money to get a license and to be bonded, and when you do that, oftentimes you pick up employees and therefore have workman's comp or unemployment insurance taxes to pay. It's a more costly operation than it is for the non-licensed contractor, and oftentimes they'd be outbid by a contractor that was not licensed. So I think
would you please, let's just address the bill before us, if you like.
Sure, that's all right.
We have some specific questions.
Go right ahead.
We looked at the bill here the last couple of days, and there's a couple of provisions there we would like to know the purpose of them being in there. If you'll direct your attention to page 2, line 26. The language that's in the bill now.
Mr. Chairman, I
believe... Some background on that.
I believe this particular paragraph was added in the Finance Committee at the request of the court system. We were contacted by Carla Forsyth, who raised the question of whether or not the committee and the original sponsor of the bill would be opposed to this particular language being added because of the burden that it may place on the court system. She gave us one of two options, and that was to accept this language, or they would add a fiscal note to the bill in finance, or submit a fiscal note because of the cost of the court. The committee was not opposed to that language.
Any questions, Commissioner? Thank you. You'll be around.
Yeah.
Thanks. Jennifer Strickler?
Mr. Chairman, my name is Jennifer Strickler, and I'm the manager and analyst for the Division of Occupational Licensing, Department of Commerce and Economic Development. The department supports this bill overall. However, we do have two recommendations for your consideration. And one is that on page 2, line 26, this question about who would recommend that be deleted from this bill. And the purpose is because this would allow an unlicensed contractor who once had a citation issued to go back and obtain his license and then have the citation voided, which would defeat its purpose. And our second recommendation would be on page 3, line 6, it's just a minor change here to add the word working after 5, so it would be 5 working days.
Any questions by the committee? Senator Mulcahy.
Maybe that together with the Department of Law as far as page 2, line 26. And we've got our backup material letter dated April 17th from the Department of Law. The last court system.
Sir, yes, I have talked to Carla Forsyth on this morning in the Alaska court system. She said she's not happy with deleting this, but there's not much else she can say at present.
So you're on one hand saying to delete it, and the court system's on the other hand saying to put it in?
Yes.
Separation of powers.
Other questions?
Have you got
a separation of system?
No, I don't.
Thank you. Bob Tamp, Lander.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm Bob Landau, and I'm with the Department of Labor. I just wanted to advise the committee that this bill is not expected to have much of an impact on the Department of Labor. We will continue to have our inspectors make on-site inspections and referrals to Commerce, and Commerce would now be undertaking enforcement as well. Beyond that, it really shouldn't have any change for us.
How do you do that? Your inspectors, do they routinely ask for licenses and bonding evidence?
It's mainly our mechanical inspectors, our plumbing and electrical inspectors, where they're primarily to do code compliance inspections, and they do this as an incident to that. They carry with them a list that Commerce puts out of the licensed contractors, and they check that list.
Oh, I see. Thank you. Any questions for me? Thank you, Bob. Lisa Nelson's here to answer questions. Park me? No. Thank you, Park. No argument here.
Mr. Chairman, I'm Clark Green, representing the Alaska State Association of Home Builders. The state organization, which has chapters in Fairbanks, Anchorage, the Mansfield Valley, Kenai, and Ketchikan, is in support of the Finance Committee substitute for House Bill 610. Originally, as the bill worked its way through the House, it started off with a builder board, which had some support among the home builders, but as we went through the process, I think there was a feeling that we better address the problem at hand first before we got carried away with another board, more regulation. And the problem is, the organization I represent saw it with the continuing functioning and activities of unlicensed and unbonded contractors. Although the law was on the books and still is, it wasn't being enforced. And we see this bill as an effective way to enforce it with the fiscal note. And hopefully, if the funding passes, there will be the manpower to enforce it through the Department of Commerce. The issue of whether the deep-end provision that deals with allowing the citation to be voided is not one I've discussed with the organization. On the one hand, it would kind of defeat the purpose of trying to get the contractors or people who are acting as contractors to, in the first instance, get bonding licensing. On the other hand, the provisions for penalties are rather steep. It hasn't been the association's position that we had to go as far as a Class A misdemeanor for a violation, which carries with it a year and up to a $5,000 fine, potentially. That may be a little bit of overkill. And the voiding provision, of course, would mitigate that by allowing anyone to go out, at least in that particular violation, to go out and remedy it. We have no objection to the voiding provision being taken out, but maybe it's a bit of a question to whether that particular provision is necessary, because this is, to go as far as a Class A misdemeanor. I assume that everybody in our association is recognizing what's the other guy is going to get hit, so to speak. But it is a steep provision. I know with fishing licenses, for example, you're not, if you get caught without your fishing license, you do get your penalty anyway, theoretically, although a lot of the officers, having been in that situation myself, it will let you say, well, if you get show proof by Monday the next following week, a lot of times they let you slip off the hook. But even if you are cited, I don't know what the, I know it isn't a Class A misdemeanor, I think it's just a fine with no jail time attended with it. And of course, this may be a little bit more serious, or it may not, depending on how you look at it, but Class A misdemeanor is a fairly heavy penalty. But overall, we favor the bill, and I think it will be a step in the right direction to enforcing existing law.
Any question by the committee? Thank you, Clark. Does anyone else care to testify on the bill? Lisa, would you come forward and maybe answer a couple of questions? I'd like to have you, your interpretation of, on page 2 of that section we're talking about, line 26, which says, proof after you've been cited. What kind of time frame are we talking about here? If a person is cited like today, and what at what point is the maximum length of the time that you have to get to provide that proof of that purchase of license?
The court system's amendment in the first place provided a 5-day.
About specifically what it says in the bill now.
Okay, specifically in the bill, it has no time limit at all. And so currently the practice is that a person can get to trial within about 20 days or so, and that, you know, could have been presented at trial at that time and presented to the prosecutor. But the lack of a limit, time limit there, does cause problems, and that was kind of confusion actually in the drafting of the last committee substitute. The limit was made to get those guys in there and get their license within a 5-month period.
Questions?
Questions, Senator McGee? It's just I was thinking if you got somebody working at Consulu or out in Alaska, it's not working days or reasonable time to get a license.
I contacted the Department of Commerce, Harry Traeger, and he said that was.
Get bonding? Doesn't that require, to get that license, doesn't it require, now require you a special license to get $5,000 in bonding? Have you ever gone out and tried to get $5,000 in bonding or $10,000 in bonding?
Actually, I'd have to defer to the Department of Commerce on that. I'm not sure exactly. But they have assured me that 5 days is enough. And as far as Kotzebue is concerned, I don't know if any Commerce offices in Kotzebue.
I just don't think 5 days is a reasonable time for somebody on the job. If they don't have it, and you're going to avoid it and try to get bonding or something.
Over 10 days, for example. I don't think Carla, this is the court system's amendment, and they would like it just because it would unclog the courts. They feel like things would get done, but 10 days probably wouldn't be unreasonable.
Just through the chair, it probably longer than 5 or 10 days to get. If someone's working and doesn't have bonding, in insurance they've got problems anyway, because the people that tend to be in that category are the ones that have difficulty getting it, and so it may ultimately make a little difference.
Well, most of your, like Mr. Chairman, just on the discussion that a lot of your small contractors that are, you know, getting around bond painters and stuff like that. Basically, they have to cash bond because they just don't have a world. A general contractor, like you see around the Red Sand or something like that, I'm sure we have it, but a specialty contractor may have trouble getting it. Cash bond has been my experience. He may be second or third generation, but I guarantee you.
Again, I don't think the time limit, it's about 20 days until you could get to court anyway right now as far as how the court system's running.
What's your opinion as attorney as a Class A misdemeanor for this type of violation? Is that serious or what would be?
Let me answer first. Given the economics of the situation, if you have a very low level violation, you're making enough money that you're willing to go ahead and pay the fine or whatever, so there's no incentive to comply with the law. If it is a Class A misdemeanor, then there's more incentive to comply with the law because then you start running into more significant penalties. It's a business question. It is, unfortunately, it's not a legal question. For someone in a contract situation like this, at least that's the way I've always seen it, and I think most people in knowledge will agree that you tend to balance out the potential penalties and the risks and rewards of your enterprise.
Well, isn't it rather inconsistent that it would be a Class A misdemeanor on one hand, and on the other hand, you have 20 days to shape up your act?
The big difference between the different classes of misdemeanors is the amount of maximum time you can spend in jail. I would expect the judge to send anybody to jail for this. What he's going to do is going to fine them. Court costs, basically, and maybe an additional. So the I don't think it's necessary to have a Class A misdemeanor. I think that's a little out of proportion to some of the other sections of criminal law where a Class A misdemeanor covers some, relatively serious conduct. So
let me make the case on the other side. The Class A misdemeanor gives the judge broad discretion. I agree with Senator Pettijohn that the jail time will not be involved, but it gives him a broader range of money in which to place the fine, so that fine hopefully will be accommodative with the violation or the intent or bad character of the act. In reality, the judge will look at the facts and then make a decision in terms of fine on the facts, and the Class A misdemeanor gives them a broader range.
What's the fine for Class B misdemeanor?
Class B.
B.
1,000.
1,000? It seems to me that if the court system was concerned about a fiscal impact on one hand, which implies that there's going to be a number of cases brought to court, and consequently I suspect a number of fines levied, isn't there a positive impact also in that situation?
I don't think so. I think it's a, Mr. Chairman,
it's all give and no take, or I'll take
it's all, it's a net, it tends to be a net loser in terms of the amount of dollars that come into the court system. We haven't talked about the prosecutorial discretion that will be involved here, and that will be perhaps the most important factor, more important than either the citations given or the court system, as the prosecutors, depending on their caseload, depending on the character of the violator.
Mr. Chairman,
I was thinking if on page 3, line 6, we made that, instead of 5 days, we made it 10 days. And then on page 2 and subsection B there on line 26, before the person cited under this section for failure to possess a license may, within 10 days after the issuance of the citation, comma, provide the prosecutor proof that the license has been obtained. That gives them 10 days after he's cited to get it and keep it out of the court system.
Well, I think we're going to have, if we're going to have to, every time we pass some type of a law, be very concerned about what's going to cost, of course, to implement it. I think maybe we're losing something here. I would think that we either do it or we don't. Not based upon cost. I think that the Department of Commerce is questioning in the sense that what are we trying to do? Are we trying to get them to sign up? Are we trying to prosecute the violators? And that's probably what we're talking about.
Your point is very important. If you cite the people and they have to do what they should do anyway, there's very little incentive for people to do it, because they'll go ahead and not do any of the proper paperwork and get the proper bonds or anything else until they're cited, then they'll go do it. That's not the way the law should run. That's not the way the law operates for other people in the state of Alaska.
And of course, official license.
I just
got
a comment that the Department of Law has no problems
with
taking that second.
I don't know, I just feel my friend Mellor today.
I would suggest to the committee that we draft the committee substitute for deleting that language. Page 2, line 26, down through 29, and also add that 5 day, between 5 and days, working days.
Yeah, I might so move. Any objections?
Objection.
Okay, we'll have the committee substitute draft, and we'll have it before the meeting next week. Thank you.
Meeting Thursday?
There's a legislative council.